Right now, though, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk food, and it's a great time of the morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. So, can you believe it is time to think about Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I can't. It was like summer yesterday, and now it's winter. No fall.
I know.
No, I have to say, out my window, I live on Prospect Park. The great designers of Prospect Park, Frederick Law Olmsted and Calvin Box, is that it? Yeah. Sometimes we forget. Planned the park so that it would have extraordinary fall foliage. So I actually have had great foliage here. In fact, I have to say this. Everybody in Litchfield County is going to get mad at me now. But, you know, when I lived in Cornwall, West Cornwall, people used to flock to West Cornwall to see the leaves changing, the leaf peepers. What do you call them, Marshall?
Leaf peepers, well, yeah. No, leaf peepers, yeah.
The leaf peepers. The leaf people. Anyway, they used to flock there to see the colors. Then I moved to Brooklyn, and I realized I have just as good color out my windows as I had in West Cornwall.
Yeah, but you got the Brooklyn Bridge instead of the covered bridge.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, they're both very iconic. Yep. And beautiful. So, I can't see the Brooklyn Bridge from my window. Well, I couldn't see the West Cornwall Bridge from my windows either, the covered bridge. Anyway, it's Thanksgiving. And by Thanksgiving, all the leaves are down. And the leaves are almost down here. That's an indication. It's 2 weeks away, believe it or not. So my nephew already, I go to my nephew's outside Philly for Thanksgiving, and we're having another family join us, and another little girl join us. And so there's always that issue, like, what will the kids eat? But interestingly, his kids, anyway, love Brussels sprouts. Now, if you go online and read about Brussels sprouts, one of the first things you'll read is that kids hate them. But I don't have that experience. Our kids love them. I think it's the roundness of them. On the other hand, I used to, until this year, used to roast them, cut in half, and they still like them. So I don't know what that is, but Brussels sprouts are one of the healthiest vegetables you can eat. Kids seem to like them. Adults seem to love them. Around here in Brooklyn, there are a number of restaurants that have Brussels sprouts as a first course or a salad or a side dish. And I see, you know, like I see them on almost every table in these places. They're not necessarily Asian places, but very often they're sort of Asian Brussels sprouts. I think they just splash some Thai fish sauce on them or something. But Brussels sprouts are super easy to do, and you don't need to fuss too much. And except for cleaning them up. And they, as I said, the kids like them, and perfect Thanksgiving vegetable. So this week I decided to try a different roasting method than I usually do. For years I've been cutting them in half, tossing them with oil and salt, and putting them on a roasting pan cut side down, which means you've got to touch each one to make sure that it's cut, they're all touched down, and spacing them apart so they're not all over each other. And then I would put them in a 450-degree oven for maybe 15 minutes, a hot oven for a very short time. They would, the flat side down, which is also oiled, would get nice and crispy and browned, and the tops, sometimes they're touched with brown. Sometimes some outer leaves are crispy, which is nice. And that's that. However, I didn't even want to cut them all in half, so I put them on a roasting pan. Now, I've read this from other people, another method. It's not my, I didn't invent this. But you do have to cut off, you know, when you're prepping Brussels sprouts, you do have to at least cut off the core end. And then a couple of outer leaves will come off with it. They're usually bruised or dark or tough. And you don't want those leaves. And that's that. So once you've done that, put them in a bowl. I, you know what? I don't even wash them. I'm going to tell a secret. I don't even wash them. When they're halved, it's interesting. I have washed them, and what happens is so much moisture gets into the between the leaves that they steam and they don't brown. So I've stopped washing them. You can wash the outsides if you have to, and then let them sit in the colander for a while so they dry off. The whole ones, I take off some outer leaves, and it's so compact inside, nothing's going to get in there. I'm not kosher. If I was kosher, I would have to soak them in water to make sure that there are no insects embedded in them. And that is, by the way, not only a kosher thing, but even in Italy, in the south of Italy, a lot of people do that. I always say it's from their Jewish heritage, which it very well may be, that a cooking way has remained since before the Inquisition, when the Jews left southern Italy for the north. A lot of those northern Jewish communities actually came originally from the south. They have a leftover of, you know, this soaking vegetables thing. Anyway, I don't do that. So the whole Brussels sprouts, I toss them with olive oil and salt, put them on a roasting pan, and I really liked this the other day because they came out crispy outside and soft inside. I put them in a 400-degree oven, much less hot than usual, and I cooked them for almost 40 minutes, 35 minutes. I could have taken them out, but I left them in for 40 minutes. I wanted them extra crispy. And if you eat them right away while they're hot, the outside will be crisp, and the inside will be tender and even soft, very delicious, almost like fondant. But we ate them later at room temperature when they're not so crispy, but they're still very delicious. So I think it's a great Thanksgiving vegetable. You can actually make them in the morning and get it out of the way and put them in your serving bowl, and they're fine at room temperature. They're delicious at room temperature. And I didn't need any extra salt on mine, but make them a little salty because they could salt, unless the kids are, you're watching salt for your children. So what else? I'm also making, and I did a trial one yesterday because it's a recipe I never made before. But I'm saying I'm doing this because my nephew and I have already composed the menu, and it looks like I don't have to cook every last thing this year as I did last year. I now feel like my grandmother after a big holiday. She always would collapse for at least several days, if not actually have a heart attack, after preparing for 25 people a feast. Now, we're not that many people. We're only going to be, what are we going to be? Oh, I don't know, like 11 or 12. And so it's not that much. But still, it's enough. It's Thanksgiving. You over-prepare for Thanksgiving. So last year, I did every last thing. I don't know how that ended up because my nephew told me he was going to help. He's a good cook, and he was going to help me. But somehow he didn't get to help me very much. He did order the turkey, though. So this year, the other family is bringing some stuff, and Brian swears he will make this, that, and the other thing. And so I'm making this recipe that I read in the New York Times. Ends up, it's a thing. I made the one yesterday that was the recipe, actually, that is in the New York Times. It's a mushroom, wild mushroom bread pudding made with dried porcini. What actually inspired me to make this is that I have an enormous quantity of dried porcini that I haven't been using very often. So I need to use, I mean, these porcini are 4 years old, maybe going on 5 years old. I have such a large quantity because when Bob and I were wintering in Salerno it'll be 5 years this winter, January, we were staying in an apartment next door to a young man who was the representative of Urbani Truffles in the South. Urbani is a very, very large, if not the largest, producer of truffles and truffle products and dried mushrooms, porcini. Maybe they have other mushrooms too. So Franco, who lives next door to us, well, before we left, he said, "What can I give you to take home? What can I give you to take home?" And as Bob hates the smell of truffles, I said, "Well, I don't really think anything." He said, "Oh, you know, we get that porcini." And he brings out this, literally, garbage can full of porcini, which he packages in his apartment and then distributes to his commercial clients in the south of Italy. By the way, they have plenty of porcini in the south, especially in Calabria. Little known thing about Calabria, it is very, very mushroom rich. And in the spring and in the fall, when the mushrooms are popping up out of the ground, that you will drive around Calabria and you will see mushroom men on the sides of the road selling their mushrooms, fresh ones, not dried ones, but you go take them home and dry them. Maybe they have dried ones too. Anyway, I have a large quantity and it's 5 years. It's time to use them up. They don't go bad, but sometimes they do get a bugs or a fungus. Mine do not have that. I've kept them in the sealed jar and they're fine. Anyway, so that was the inspiration. I got to use up all these mushrooms. So this is you can look this up online because it's a New York Times recipe and they put everything online. This particular one was developed by a woman, a food writer named Susan Spungen. This is just to separate it from all the other wild mushroom bread puddings you're going to find online. And it's not hard. It takes some time. But you have to make it a day ahead, which is a good thing for Thanksgiving, of course. You have this in the refrigerator on Thanksgiving, and you just take it out, let it come back to room temperature, and stick it in the oven, and there you are. My original idea was to serve it as a side dish. However, I'm now thinking it might be good as a first course. It's pretty rich, by the way. It's got a lot of cream in it. I think Susan Spungen, who I do not know, but I call her Susan, I think Susan actually reduced the amount of butter in this recipe too much, because when I was cooking the mushrooms, I found, and then there are leeks in here too, when I was cooking this, I realized I need a little bit more butter to make these mushrooms good. I used cremini as the fresh mushroom. Cremini, interesting little mushroom, are a brownish, basically they're the same as the white, as a plain white mushroom, but they're brown and they have a little bit more flavor. When creminis grow up, they become portobellos. So I'm noticing, actually, in the store, they now are calling them baby portobellos or baby bellos. They're the same thing as cremini.
Huh.
Interestingly, cremini mushrooms are a real thing, although I've never seen them. In Italy, they have an Italian name, but I've never seen them there. It was not easy to make them into portobellos. That's an invented mushroom, portobello. They're overgrown creminis, and when they open up their the top and the gills give off the spores, they could become dangerous to other mushrooms. So they had to invent a way of bringing them to maturity without having them contaminate other mushrooms. And they had, this is in Kenny something or other in Pennsylvania, where they grow all these mushrooms. They actually had to come up with an air filtration system to grow them. But anyway, I use a half a pound of cremini, but you can mix them, whatever mushrooms you want to put in there. I like the cremini because they have a nice texture when they're cooked. And you need 1 ounce, that's quite a lot, of dried porcini. You reconstitute the dried porcini by putting them in 1 cup of boiling water and let them sit for 15 minutes. Meantime, you want to saute the half pound of fresh mushrooms, sliced quarter inch thick or a little thinner. And Susan Spungen only had to use 1 tablespoon of butter and 1 tablespoon of olive oil in a 12-inch skillet. It was not enough. I had to add another tablespoon and a half, at least, of butter to get this going. And you sauté the mushrooms until they are lightly brown, which takes about 7 or 8 minutes. turn down the heat a little bit, because that's over sort of medium-high heat, and add some sage. Recipe calls for 8 fresh sage leaves, thinly sliced. Doesn't say what size, so I used a mix of little ones and big ones. It was basically a nice sprig of sage, sliced very, very thin. She calls for 2 small shallots, halved and thinly sliced. You can't find small shallots in my neighborhood, so I use 1 big shallot, halved and thinly sliced. And you saw when the mushrooms start to brown, you throw that in, the porcini, which you have chopped up now, and the sage leaves and the shallots, and you saute for another couple of minutes. I left out the cognac that the recipe calls for because we have kids, and I even have adults who hate the taste, so I left it out. You season that with salt, pepper, scrape it out of the pan, and now saute 3 large leeks, here's how I clean leeks. I cut them in half lengthwise. Well, of course, you only want the white and the very light green. You have to cut off all the dark green. And then I cut like a V at the leaf end of the leek so that you're cutting off the green, the dark green that actually trails down the sides of the leek, and then there's a tender part in the middle. So you end up with not very long piece of leek. Mine were maybe 4 or 5 inches of leek. Cut those in half and run them underneath the running water. And if there's any sand caught in those leaves, and there often is, you'll flush it out. And then saute those leeks for about, 5, 10, no more than 10 minutes. Saute them gently in a couple tablespoons of butter, and then mix in your mushroom mixture. Now you've got the filling, basically, it's the filling for the pudding. Now, this is the custard part, which is the rich part. When you drain your porcini, save the soaking liquid. And there's going to be a bit. You put a cup of hot water in there, it's probably going to be close to a cup of liquid. Put that in a large bowl. And once you've finished cooking the mushroom mixture, add to that bowl of mushroom liquid 6 large eggs and whisk them in to the mushroom liquid. And then whisk in 1.5 cups of heavy cream and 1.5 cups of milk and a big pinch of ground cayenne pepper, hot pepper, just to give a little oomph to this, not to really make it hot. And 2 ounces, now this is the thing, Susan Spungen I've cooked recipes from her before, and they're always very precise, but not only did I have to add butter to this, but I had to ignore her measurement for the Gruyere. I bought a 1/4 pound piece of Gruyere, thinking I had more than enough, because she calls for 2 ounces, but in fact, I use all 1/4 pound. It's about 1 cup of grated Gruyere. Put that into your custard. And now you have to assemble the bread pudding. So it calls for 12 ounces of brioche. You can use challah. I used actual brioche because I can buy that around the corner. But Susan Spungen points out that it's in some places it's very hard to find brioche, but you can often find brioche hamburger buns. My store also has the hamburger buns, so I had to choose between the slices and the buns. And in the end, I did the slices, and I arranged my pudding a little differently than Susan Spungen does, because she was using the brioche buns cut 1/2 inch thick. I don't know what that means. Which way do you cut it? After all, hamburger buns are already cut. So anyway, I didn't have that issue because I had bread. So and by the way, and she was right about the amount, 12 ounces of bread. So on the you grease and with butter. I should say, a 9 by 13 inch baking dish, and then I put down about 1/4 of the fresh mushroom. Well, it's not fresh mushroom mixture anymore. It's a mushroom mixture with leeks and dried mushrooms. Put that on the bottom of the pan. Just scatter 1/4 of the amount on the bottom of the pan, and then arrange bread slices on top of that. Put the remaining mixture on top of the layer of bread. And then I put on another layer of bread, and I ladle the custard mixture over the top, making sure that the cheese, which is, of course, going to sit on the top, is equally distributed over the surface. And then I have this in the refrigerator. Refrigerate it. I covered it with plastic, and I refrigerated it overnight. I'm going to bake it sometime midday today, as if it was Thanksgiving, but actually I'm serving it with a meatloaf. And take the dish out about a half an hour or so, it could be or so, and then put it in a 350-degree oven. The recipe calls for you to top it with grated Parmigiano, a half a cup, and I probably will do that since I have plenty of that in the house too. But if you don't go out and buy a piece of Parmigiano just for that. I think you're fine with the Gruyere. And that's it. It bakes for 40 to 45 minutes until it's set in the center. It's probably going to puff up and then collapse again once it's cooling down. You can run it under the broiler if the top has not browned sufficiently, but I think in 45 minutes at 350, it should be nice and golden by then. Let it sit for a bit, at least 10 minutes. I would think even longer, because it's just going to be, it's not going to cut. You're not going to be able to serve it up. I must say, I'm looking forward to eating this later today, and if it all works out okay, I'll be making that for Thanksgiving. That's going to be my big contribution. It didn't take all that long to put it all together, but I'm looking forward to having it all ready on Thanksgiving morning. So those are my two things for Thanksgiving, Brussels sprouts and this porcini, fresh mushroom bread pudding. And I guess we have to decide how to serve it. Since we have two kinds of potatoes on the menu, I'm thinking this would be a better first course. And I'm not sure that the kids will eat it.
No, it's definitely...
I don't know.
Can you turn it into...
You can't turn it into anything, Jill. It's starter? What it is, what it is.
No, what I mean is, can you make it okay.
What?
No,
what did you say?
I was just wondering if you can make it not necessarily as a first course, but as an hors d'oeuvre, but I guess not.
I think it's going to be too much.
All right. Okay.
You know, I know this crowd. We don't sit around and eat a lot before we sit down to the table.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there'll be some little thing to nibble on, but, I mean, we always did when I was, for many, many years, we would sit around forever and
right.
We'd eat these things.
Get and hungry and be full.
Get to the table and nobody would be hungry anymore.
Exactly.
And the real event was yet to come.
Right.
So. And the kids, you know, getting a 6-year-old little girl to eat anything could be a problem. And I don't think that they would, I'm not sure that they're going to eat this. We'll see. Sometimes they surprise me. Sydney recently told me that one of her favorite things is chicken noodle soup. Well, I remember last year she wouldn't even eat soup out of any kind, much less something simple like chicken noodle soup. I don't know. I'm happy she likes it because I make great chicken broth, so I'm looking forward to feeding her my own chicken noodle soup. And also she told me she doesn't like pancakes, but I made pancakes for her. She likes waffles, but not so much pancakes, she told me. But I made pancakes for her, and then she told me these were the best pancakes that she ever ate and that I am the best pancake maker in the world. So, of course, I'm going to be making pancakes.
I can't wait.
We could do that in the morning.
Yeah.
That would be nice for Thanksgiving morning.
Pancakes.
Why not?
No reason.
No.
You have to warm up for the day. No, I think that's a great.
Well, that'll set them up until we eat at 4 o'clock.
That's right.
I think.
As
these are girls who don't like to eat very much, you know, the 3-and-a-half-year-old, her whole thing is hot dogs and pizza. As most 4-year-olds would be. Now, I think I see the 6-year-old broadening her tastes now.
But
That's
I would think, in my uninformed view, that's about right. I always, whenever I hear about kids eating more adventurously, I think about a book I probably read years and years ago about how most French families. Just start their kids on regular, you know, you do baby
well,
food.
Well, I
but
ate
then
regular
you,
food.
Right. You introduce.
My mother did not make special food
exactly.
For me and my sister.
You just started introducing.
We ate what my father wanted to eat.
Right.
And my father always had you know, wishes and wants in the food department, and he was very, you know, he was the food guy, so that's why I'm the food guy. But yeah, this my mother's line was, this is not a restaurant.
I totally understand.
I can hear her saying, this is not a restaurant. You eat what I made.
Exactly. No, no. Either I was there too, or we were separated at birth. You know, yes, that's how it was. It's like, this is food.
So,
eat it.
Yeah, and actually, I was not a good eater.
Right.
When I was a little boy. And I know why, and my mother knew why, which was because she would send me downstairs to the Neapolitan neighbors around 4 or 5 o'clock, and I would have a little snack with them, which usually consisted of pasta of some kind or other. And then my father would come home at 7, and we had to sit down and eat dinner with my father. So, you know, if I ate pasta at 5, at 7, I wasn't all that hungry. But I was, you know, I didn't eat. Until the doctor told my mother, look, don't worry about him. He won't starve. Put the food down in front of him, and that's it. And if he doesn't eat it, you take it away. Well, I learned soon enough that you had to eat what was put down in front of you, or you was going to be taken away. Now, what's interesting with my nephew and his children is my nephew ate nothing until he was 7 years old, and the family went on a trip to Maine, and Brian discovered lobster. I'm not sure exactly how he discovered that he would want to eat this overgrown bug, but he did, and that opened up the whole world of food to him. Now, as an adult, he goes out of his way to eat things that he's never eaten before. So he's a very adventurous eater, and he eats just about anything.
No, and I say this
and
all the time.
Maybe the kids will be the same. I don't know.
And I say this all the time about my sister. For the first 8 years of her life, she ate only white food, and she will now eat. And now she goes out of her way to eat. It was just so funny. And her mother was convinced that she would only ever always eat white food, and there were all these rules. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, when the girls were staying with me recently, I ordered in pizza, of course, and knowing that they love pizza. And I must tell you that they were connoisseurs of pizza. When the margarita arrived, Sydney said, I don't eat things with green leaves on it.
She learned that.
I said, well, you can take the green leaves off. And this was a revelation to her, I guess. She took the leaves off and she was happy.
Right.
And then Maya said, because she says everything her big sister says, she says, I don't eat green leaves either. I said, well, then you can take them off of your pizza, too. And she did. But their father tells me they're not so easy when he's there home.
Oh,
Maya is likely to carry on about the green leaves that had touched her pizza. But for me, they're very, very good.
This is why you have other family members.
The little one decided that this pizza is too floppy.
Okay.
Floppy. It's too floppy. And it was floppy pizza. It wasn't crisp crusted pizza.
Never good. Floppy. And floppy's a good word.
All right.
Yeah, it's very good. I was happy she knew the word floppy.
I am too. And so properly descriptively.
Okay, it's time for the hook.
Anyway, there's more on Thanksgiving, of course.
Of course.
And I know I have to leave you now. Marshall's on you.
Yeah, right.
8:02.
You can hear that, right? Okay.
I know. You know. Listen, I also watch the clock. So
I understand.
Everybody, not happy Easter. Not happy Easter. Happy Thanksgiving yet.
But we're working up to it.
Listen, if you haven't ordered your turkey, you better do it now.
This would be good.
My butcher had a big sign up said, order it now. And a free-range turkey at my butcher was $2.49 a pound. I thought that was pretty good for a free-range turkey. Last year, we ordered an heirloom turkey. I won't do that again.
I still have PTSD.
We went through that last year, yeah.
All right.
So we're just going to take your regular turkey, but grown well.
Sounds good.
Take care, everybody. Maybe a cake for Thanksgiving next week. We'll see.
All right. That's there.
Bye.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Running support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.